Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Welcome back to the official Red Sox podcast, Inside the Monster, presented by Odyssey with myself, Steve Perrault, and Joey Capone. It is ITM shorts time. And Joey, this is somewhat of an emergency pod, which is hilarious.
This dude handed us a pod on a silver platter.
This dude, I was texting you like, we got to do a short on this guy. Like, we can't not do a short on what happened at Tropicana Field. This game is still going on right now. Game 2 of 3 in Tampa, Red Sox, Rays. And Tristan Casas hits Casas hits his first career homer. And I didn't pay attention to where it landed at all. You're just looking, oh, okay, he hit his first homer. You want to get some tweets out. And I was so excited about the rookie treatment they gave him in the dugout, which is like my favorite thing ever, is the first career home run and they don't even act like you exist. It's awesome. It's a great baseball thing. I'm glad it still is going on. And I go downstairs, Joe, to get a nice chicken finger sub because it had just arrived. Come back upstairs and it's just pandemonium. I'm like, who is this guy? What's going on? Twitter's blowing up. Like, what is happening? And sure enough, it's the guy that caught Casas's home run ball trying to act like he has Hank Aaron's home run that passed Babe Ruth or something. I'm like, dude, it's not that serious. He's acting like he has Bonds' 73rd home run, like he caught Pujols' 700th bomb. We love Casas. He's our guy. It's exciting that he's up and that we'll get another month of him before this offseason. But this guy stinks. This is the classic, oh, brother, this guy stinks. Like, I've never seen anyone that fits that billing more. What were your thoughts, Joey, when you saw this?
Not that. I've been waiting till we're on this show to say where I stand on this dude. I'm willing to budge. But where I stand coming into this is, if a ball comes your way and it ends up being worth anything, get the maximum amount that you can for it. Because if he had said, no, I'm not giving this back, I caught it, it's mine, then you got a dick on your hands. Then you got a guy that I would say, this guy stinks. Like, get out of here. Take the ball from him, kick him in the knee on his way out. But that's not what happened. It looked like he was calling. I mean, I know what happened because Jemai went and interviewed him.
Great job by Jemai. Great job.
Incredible job by Jemai. And shout out to the guy, too, for being like a pretty good conversationalist and like carrying it a little bit and not being vanilla. He was far from bland. He had stuff to say. And he was like, no, I was calling my fiance. I told her. And then I was thinking, like, man, what can I get for this? I think you should get everything that you can for it.
Yeah, It's funny because you're going off of, this is like a John Boy special here, right? I mean, he's probably going to dissect the hell out of this thing.
He's on it right now.
He's got to be. But you, I saw the guy, and just going off of body language, how he was acting around the clubhouse guys. See, that was the thing that caught me off guard, because when the security guys were there, I'm like, oh, okay. They're waiting for the clubbies to get there, and then they'll figure out a deal. Once the Sox clubhouse guy gets there, he's still not budging, and I'm like, wait a second. So I think in this guy's defense, a lot of our anger on Red Sox Twitter was, this guy stinks. He's not going to give the ball up. Like, what is going on here? Now, I understand the bargaining element of this. I understand trying to get as much as you can. But I knew this guy's entire situation without hearing a word of that before that interview even happened with Jamai. I think I even typed it out in some like mock-up tweet of like, you know, honey, I swear we can get so much out of this thing. Like, this is going to be our like ticket to the good life. Like, he checked every box of like thinking he stumbled on, you know, the winning lottery ticket, when in reality, it's a first career homer. Get what you can and just give the ball. Like, it went on for way too long, and it gave, I think, people enough ammo to be like, this guy's the worst.
Well, so before the clubbies even came over.
Yeah.
Did you see who went to get the ball first?
Security guys there? Or the mascot, right?
DJ Kitty. DJ Kitty came over to try to get the ball. And you can see him be like, no. Like, I'm not giving it to you, DJ Kitty. Back to the booth, baby.
See, that's what I missed going downstairs. Like,
oh, it was
correct
a great
me if I'm
moment.
Wrong here. What the hell was... Why was the mascot trying to get the
ball? So here, if I had to guess logistically, it's that he probably has like a speaker inside of his thing that's like, you know, on like the staff radio or something. You know, like they all have walkie-talkies and whatever. And he was probably just the closest. So they were like, hey, DJ Kitty, we need you to go get that ball.
Yo, watching this video back, this is very funny. He's like, I'm going to need that ball, man. And you can see DJ Kitty kind of like, you know, from the shoulders over, like, oh, come on, man.
You think he said anything from behind, inside the suit? You think he's
absolutely.
Like, give me
he's
the ball.
Talking, DJ Kitty is talking like, we're going to need that ball and we'll get you something back. And Ryan Brazier looking guy is not budging. He is not giving that ball up at all. I just can't believe this whole thing is, it's unbelievable. Like, it's not, it's just non, I can't believe it happened. There's certain baseball things over the course of 162 that have nothing to do. Well, that I was gonna say nothing to do with the game, but you know what I mean. Like, whether it's in the crowd,
things outside of off the field,
off the field stuff. And when Jamai gets the interview, and this guy says like he drove up from Orlando, and he's a White Sox fan, and he's got that underneath, you know, his Rays jersey, and he's by himself. He dropped a chicken wing, or he dropped his phone. Right, he's eating wings.
Yeah.
And he dropped his phone and he's going around to pick it up. Here's people cheering. He looks up and catches the ball. I'm like, this can't be real life. Like, I can't believe, I don't doubt that that's true, because this guy doesn't look like he can come up with a lie. Like, he seems like a straight shooter.
It doesn't seem like a storyteller.
No, he doesn't seem like he's going to craft up some crazy, like, oh, they'll believe this. No, he told it as it is.
Mm-hmm.
The guy, he kind of seems like a doofus. I mean, he's a perfect character to have in this role
right now.
Yeah, he's the perfect character to have in the role of what happened. Mm-hmm. But I genuinely just can't believe that's how it all went down. Like, that was absolutely nuts.
I love the move of going to the game alone, being like, you know what?
Do you?
I'm in the area. Sure, especially if it's not somewhere that you frequent, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if I was on a business trip in Atlanta, I'd see if the Braves were in town, you know?
I
think the Trop is perfect for it, too, because it's 11 cents to get in.
Also,
and then,
talk about a place that you can keep a low profile. Like, you're never going to see anybody you've ever met in your life at the Trop. That's just not.
No, and it's not going to be crowded. You're not going to be like squeezed next to two people. You know,
you can sit anywhere. Like, yeah, you can sit anywhere there. No one's going to give a damn.
Sit anywhere. And then he probably got there and said, hey, you know what? I'm going to be a Rays fan for the day. I'm going to buy a jersey. I'll buy a hat. I'll support the team. Sure. Why not? I'll be a Rays fan for the day. I've done that before. Been out of town. Been like, hey, you know what? I'm at this Buffalo Sabres game. I don't know why I said one that's not true. I've never been to Buffalo. I could have used like a real one. I've done it with like the New York Rangers. Been like, you know, in New York, been like, MSG's here. I'll buy a Rangers jersey and go to the game. Pretend, you know, fit in for a day. That's all he would, I don't know. It's funny if he was trying to hide out somewhere and him calling his fiance was him being like, so honey, you might see me on Twitter. You might see me on TV. I know I said I was in Tallahassee.
Yeah.
I meant Tampa Bay.
I meant St. Petersburg, obviously. Those are the same thing. I do one element of this that is funny is, I mean, it's all funny. It's all wild. Mm-hmm. But the fact that during a game, Xander and Rafi are signing autographs for this guy in the dugout so that they can get this ball back is hilarious. Like, that's another layer of this where it's like, oh, wow, they're actually signing these baseballs in the dugout so that this guy will give up the first home run ball. Like, I think there is a little element of...
Did that happen on the broadcast? Did I miss that?
Yeah, it was on the broadcast, yeah.
Ah, man.
But
lots
I just
of things on the broadcast I'm missing.
Yeah, I'm telling... yeah, we'll get into that in the recap episode. But I just... I couldn't believe the entire thing was happening. New layers kept getting added on, too. Or it's like, wait, what? This guy's a White Sox fan? Like, what's going on? I don't really understand how this all ended up going down, but at least Casas is going to get the home run ball. When they went back to him too, and Brad Foe's over there, if I know Rob like I know Rob, I could have bet everything that he was going to rush down there and try to get an interview with this guy.
I took a screenshot and sent it to Coop. Yeah. And I was like, dropping this episode tonight. And he was like, you know it.
Rob is going to look at that like it's another David Ortiz interview. He's like, we got the guy. You wanted him. We got him. The goof that caught the first home run ball. I give this guy credit, this fan, or whatever you want to call him, because he just kind of embraces every element of what you expect him to be. Like, he's at his core, he's a clown. But he embraces it. I think he checks all the boxes of like, yeah, he wears two different teams apparel to the game. He goes by himself. He's stumbling his phone. He's catching a ball, over bargaining for what he's going to get back when he doesn't even know the guy that hit it. I could have put all my money on the fact that he did not know who hit the ball. That's another thing. It's like, dude, you don't even know. There needs to be a certain level of understanding of the situation for me for you to be bargaining that much. You don't even know who the guy is that hit the ball. Like, you almost don't, to me, you don't even like deserve the right to be like over bargaining when you don't even know who the guy is.
He won the lottery. Listen, you and I play the lottery every week, right?
We
write out our tickets and we listen to all the lottery experts that are like 13. Yeah, of course. Yeah. We get together every week. We have our slumber party and we watch the guy on YouTube who's like, 13's been really hot lately for the Mega Bucks. Definitely hit 13. And this guy just, you know, was checking out at 7-Eleven and said, hey, yeah, I'll put in a ticket. Just do random numbers. And he won the lottery. So it's understandable to get frustrated with the guy, but he won the lottery, you know?
Here's the thing with home run
ball. Not the jackpot, but a lottery.
I look at the lottery as, like I mentioned earlier, like a Pujols 700, a Bond 73, you know, the Hank Aaron ball. Like, that's what I look at as the lottery. The Maguire ball. Those things to me are the
lottery. You don't stumble into those, though. You don't stumble into those because,
I know.
You know, when Aaron Judge has 61, I think outfield tickets at Yankee Stadium are probably going to go up in price a little bit. Nobody's going to stumble into that ticket. And the ball's not going to hit you in the chest.
Another reason why it's like, dude, this isn't like one of those baseballs. This is a first career homer for a kid that we hope to matter in this club. You know, this.
Well,
club
you don't know the conversation. Up. You know what I mean? Because the conversation could have been, "Hey, man, just give it up." And he's like, "Hey, I want something in return." And they were like, "Give it up, loser."
I bet the Sox club. He said, "Give it up, loser." I'm sure.
Come on.
What was said?
What are you, a baby? Do you need a bottle?
A clown? Yeah. The whole thing is hilarious to me. I can't believe that it happened, but yeah, I think it was worthy of a short. It was worthy of breaking it down. You got any other thoughts? I think we said all our thoughts. I don't know if anything else really sticks out outside of the fact that he was probably, for our sake, Joey, with how this season has gone, fact that the Sox out of nowhere are now 9 out. That's what sucks about the Jays having a doubleheader on Monday. It's like, oh, right, they can win both of those games. If the Sox lose, they fall back a game and a half, even further back. So, Monday really made it feel like, oh, no. It's anyone that still believes it. It's definitely not.
No, I know. Doable. I was going to save it for the recap, but it's totally. Yeah, OK, I'll drop this right now because it might not be true by the time the recap comes out. As of this moment, or at least going into game two, the Diamondbacks are closer to an NL wild card spot than the Sox are to an AL wildcard spot.
Yeah.
So Fangraphs, that's pretty telling.
Fangraphs dropped into 0.8%. So it's, yeah. You obviously are not looking at that anymore. So my point being that it's at least we get this crazy.
Yeah,
dude,
yeah, yeah. You know, and we the fact that it's Ryan Brazier.
That was the another fact thing. That he yeah, plays let me for look the back Sox. At this guy. It really is Brazier. What if it was Brazier? Yeah. Imagine, like, did he get what? Like, what
I
is
got a text. I gotta admit here that that tweet was straight up plagiarized. Not plagiarized, but my buddy Ben Brungart used to work at Lumberland, and yeah. he's the catcher at UMass Amherst. He texted me. And he was like, tell me that's not Ryan Brazier. And I was like, tweeting it. Sorry, man, tweeting it.
It's like, got to do it. No, everyone's going with Brazier on this one. I mean, he really does look like Ryan Brazier.
Oh, yeah.
This is hilarious. I still can't believe it happened the way it did. Last thing here on Ryan Brazier, guy that caught the Casas home run ball. I can't put my finger on it, Joey, but I think people listening will know what I'm saying. There's a certain type of person that carries themselves a certain type of way that I think rubs a lot of people the wrong way. And I'm going solely off of body language with this guy and how he was talking with them, then going back to the phone, doing this back. Oh, it's like this guy just gave off this, you are annoying energy. And I think that's what bugged a lot of people is like, dude, it's not that serious. It's a first career homer. Get a bogey autograph, maybe a bat, meet a guy or two, and just let's call it a day, please. Come on.
The energy that he gave me was that of somebody who speaks their mind all the time, whether or not it's the right time.
Yes.
So, like, I'll say this. I'm going to speak for you here because I know that you do this because we're both socially smart people. If I'm in a situation, right, and somebody says, like, oh, I love blank movies, and it's like a series that I either don't watch or I don't like, I like particularly dislike, I still am like, yeah, they're good, man. They're good. They're cool. Good. Yeah. Nice. This is the kind of guy who would be like, Lord of the Rings are some of the worst movies I've ever seen. You like those? I think those movies suck. They're not even true to the books.
And he's totally okay just sitting in that weirdness. If anything, this guy lives for that awkwardness of like, oh, I can go all day. Like, let's go.
My opinion's right, so I don't feel weird. Do you feel weird?
Yeah, what's your rebuttal? Because I was correct in my opinion. Well, I don't know.
Really? So Roger Ebert's review, you're going to say Roger Ebert's wrong? You're smarter than Roger Ebert?
Yeah.
Like, he has that air to him. Two home runs in the last 15 seconds while we've been doing this show, Steve. This stinks.
What's going on? I'm not watching right now. What's happening?
Two solo shots.
Oh, a couple of solo Johnsons. All right. Yeah. It's hard for, I can't watch and then record at this. I can't multitask like that. So
I love when X says Johnson. I love when he says that.
Nothing like it.
You know, because I love hearing him say that.
Yeah.
I'm familiar with all the things he says.
Yeah. It's like a pair of shoes, you know, stuff like that. I love that this happened tonight because the Red Sox are looking at a series loss in Tampa. And Joey, we're obviously going to break this down in the series recap episode, but it does seem like all systems go now for bring everyone down with you if you can. And definitely all systems go for get swept, right? Are we down?
Listen, I think game two right here is the turning point. People, by the time they hear this, will know if they win this game, win tomorrow. From there on, just get the Yanks out of first. Rays and Jays, you lay down, I think.
Yeah. I think basically forfeit game three to Tampa so they have a better chance of catching up to the Yankees. And then we root for that. We root for Xander batting title. Mm-hmm. We root for Beating the Yankees. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. See, we can still root for beating the Yankees, and we hate those Yankees. So, like, we can still do stuff that we do. We can root for Aaron Judge to set the record because we're honest and we like Aaron Judge, and that would be a cool thing to see with our own eyes. And yeah, I mean, there's a lot of cool stuff coming up, Joey. This next month, it's going to be very eventful. Obviously, on the recap episode, we'll talk about the Kike extension. But I'm
Casas glad to hit 11 more this year. That'd be cool.
Casas, yeah.
That's what I'm excited. Totally what I said.
Exactly. So yeah, there's a lot of stuff to be excited about. But shout out to this guy. I don't love him. I actually dislike him, but I like what he gave us tonight. He gave us a completely unexpected, weird little add-on to the top Red Sox prospect's first career home run. So I'm thankful for that.
Thank you. Thank you, Ryan, for all
and
you
great get. Job, Jemai. Once again, Jemai did a really good job. The in-game interviews are next to impossible. Like it's, and of course, action's going on. There's like a double. Guys are coming in, and Jemai's like, "So you dropped your phone or your chicken wing?" Like, what? It's like that's a hard thing to do. That's a hard position.
Yeah. And I gotta get on the broadcast here, Steve.
I could tell you
one.
What do you got?
One, when action starts happening on the field, this guy, this goober, has enough awareness to be like, oh, I should stop talking. We go back to the booth now. Jemai, stop talking. We go back to the booth now. Silence. Jemai goes, there's a lot going on right now, so I'm going to throw it to you guys. Get the hint? And it was like, it was the second time in the game that I had been like genuinely frustrated by the call. And people know I'm an OB defender. I get on here and I say, hey, I think he gets too much flack. I like him a lot. I think
you're
he's good.
You're a big OB guy, yeah.
Yeah, I think he's good.
He is good.
That Cassis call was tough. That sounded... That's what I said.
All right.
It was like he was bored to tears, bro. That was so tough. Especially when there's been so many examples recently of first career home runs, first career hits.
Yeah.
Where guys are getting the treatment and like, you know, that stunk. That should have been a huge
moment. The home run call is not OB strong suit. I think there's been plenty occasions of that. The Rafael Devers one in DC last year was a good example of that. But yeah, it happens. I know I had mentioned to you, I think before we started recording that I was bummed that I saw an Ian Brown tweet that Casas went deep. Before like 2 seconds before the pitch, and so it just kind of, I don't think I even heard the call, it just kind of ruined it for me. I was like,
dude,
damn.
Fubo, you gotta have a conversation with Fubo.
Fubo sucks. That's the conversation. You suck. Yeah, that's my combo would be with Fubo.
End of conversation.
Fubo TV is garbage, capital G, capital for all the letters. It is.
Are you thinking about going over to Nesson 360 perhaps?
There
or
was
do
a
you use Fubo for other stuff?
There's a reason why we didn't. Oh, I don't think the app was on our TV.
Oh, well, now it is. Now it is. Now the app is out there now. It's $30, for just Nesson. So you'd be surrendering whatever else you use Fubo for, but I can't imagine.
I don't know if it's on our TV. Like, certain apps show up on the TV. Like, I don't know if we can download. Whatever. That's a whole thing. I don't want to get into that. But yeah, shout out to this goof that got Tristan's first homer. And Jemai, good work.
Shout out to you, doofus.
Yeah, shout out to you. Shout out to you, you bozo that caught that ball. it was worth a couple laughs. It was a good time. So I'm actually genuinely thankful it happened. But yeah, next you'll hear from Joey and I is recapping this Sox Rays series. Pulling for the Rays, I think at this point we want them to catch the Yankees. A Yankees wild card series would be hilarious. So that's kind of what you're hoping for at this point. But any closing thought, Joey?
No.
My closing thought is shout out to you, doofus. Shout out to you, you clown. Shout out to you, man.
Way to go, you goober.
Props to you, you nerd. No, he's not a nerd. He's a doofus. He's a goof.
He's a goof.
But hey, you got a bogey and got a Devers. I think he snuck a Devers autograph out of this, so. He did his job.
Should have gone for Rays season tickets.
That would be way less expensive.
I think the value of the autographs. Like, $100.
Rays season tickets, $10. For Joey Capone, I am Steve Peralt. Go Sox, kid.